Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. With many grateful exceptions, one of the more daunting challenges that you shall have in your pastoral ministries will be to guide a young woman and man through the process of planning their wedding, while maintaining the integrity of the institution called marriage, not to mention the dignity of the sanctuary. Questions sometimes asked. Where shall the groom's divorced parents sit? They despise each other and haven't spoken to each other in years. Why is it not a good idea to have my niece to be a flower girl who is barely old enough to walk down the aisle? If we can't throw rice, what about birdseed? My fiancé is Roman Catholic. His sister would like to sing Ave Maria. Speaking of music, the wedding song isn't too popular these days anymore, thank God. But Sunrise Sunset is still on the charts, and the wedding march is still a sentimental favorite, not in our church. I never thought that I would have to announce before the benediction, please refrain from raucous applause or shrill whistles during the recessional. Besides being only slightly overstated, all of that is prelude and largely irrelevant to the lesson appointed for this day in John chapter 2, the miracle of the wedding in Cana. More precisely, the reception. That this is the first of Jesus' signs is a little puzzling, from my perspective, compared to healing the blind, lame, deaf, devil-possessed, or especially raising the dead. This turning water into wine pales in significance. Just as puzzling at first glance is the conversation between Mary and her son. But don't picture Mary as the frazzled, interfering house guest. Presume her as simply a concerned friend, sensitive to her host's dilemma. And don't picture Jesus as the irreverent son. As for calling her woman rather than mother, remember that he also called her that ever so lovingly on the cross. And don't picture Mary's response to his response as taking Jesus for granted, like teenagers thinking of their parents, they said no, but they really mean yes. Rather, think of her as a woman of faith, a woman who had been visited by the angel and called blessed. A woman who believed, even if she didn't fully understand yet, that this indeed was the long-awaited promised one of God. All of that takes a back seat to Jesus' initial words to his mother. My time or my hour is not yet come. What did he mean by that? That he didn't have time for such minutiae? That the wine shortage wasn't his problem and shouldn't be hers either? Elsewhere in John's Gospel are some very poignant, powerful texts. In chapter 12, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Again on Maundy Thursday evening, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in this world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. On that same evening, Jesus began his high priestly prayer with these haunting, embracing words, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Could it be, in a somewhat cryptic, abbreviated way, he was saying to his mother and to all of those who overheard the conversation, there's much more to my life on this earth than bailing people out of jams. There's much more to my mission than making sure people have a good time at parties. I may be your son, humanly speaking, but I am the Son of God. I am here to die for the sins of the world. I'm here to restore the broken relationship between people and the Almighty Father, and even to restore broken relationships among one another, including husbands and wives. I'm here to make full and final restitution for one and for all. I'm here to redeem them. I'm here to redeem you. I'm here to be the world's savior. Are you having a good time at this wedding party, Mother? Good. But I have even more to tell you, that this is but a foretaste of the feast to come. One great and one glorious day, because of what I shall accomplish on the cross and the open tomb, selflessly and sacrificially, all people who believe in me and in the one who sent me shall gather at a heavenly banquet, a wedding feast which will not end in a day or a week or two, but shall last forever. Besides all of the wedding/reception imagery proffered throughout the pages of Scripture, that's why I propose to you anyway that Jesus chose this to be the first of his miracles, namely to point us heavenward, to give us a taste, a foretaste of what lies ahead of us, where we shall sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. That does not render not having enough wine at a wedding reception trivial or insignificant. To the contrary, it would have been incredibly embarrassing for the host in those days, and even today, I could say that as one who has hosted two daughters' wedding celebrations. Jesus did and does respond to the immediate earthly needs of his people. And in another sermon, that might well be the focus. But all of that is set within the context of his infinitely greater miracle, the miracle of eternal salvation, the miracle of life forever in heaven. Note the last verse of the lesson. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee, he thus revealed his, what? His glory. And his disciples put their faith in him, not ultimately because he turned water into wine, but because they were led by the power of the Spirit to acknowledge him as Savior and Lord. Now that I think of it, the next time a couple sits with me to plan their wedding service, which in fact shall happen again next week, I'm going to suggest, how about after you have been declared husband and wife in the name of the Holy Trinity, how about someone singing the offertory? The words are wondrously appropriate, and the image incredible for us all, and especially the image is incredible for the gift of marriage. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.